All material in this audio story belongs to Sila J. Taesong. No part may be copied or distributed for material gain. If you share this recording with others, please reference the author and website. Thank you for listening. Guildless, A Dreams of Kaimaj Short Story by Sila J. Taesong. I am not like all the other guildless. These people are here because they are mad or lazy, or born in this dismal tunnel. Starving or not, they breed like slink in a warm cave. I am here because one piece of gold plate was misplaced at just the wrong moment, and I was swept down a bureaucratic crack in the floor and wound up here among misfits and slovenly bastards. Perhaps you've heard tell of me. Stitcher Norrell, the Jim of the Jim Guild, the man who wanted to throw it all away and become a weaver. I'm sure they've spread lies about me from market to Grimshore. Come closer, little lady, and I'll tell you the true story. Relax, big lad. I'm harmless. Surely your slink can sense that. I must apologize for the smell. Most of us keep a designated latrine, but those whose minds are truly gone, those who cannot remember the meaning of human dignity, well, they have little use for a latrine. We aren't allowed to bathe in the lake. We aren't allowed into the main cavern of Iskallon at all. I digress. The true story. I was set up by my enemies. They hate me, you see. They were envious of my success, and they wanted to see me fall. I can see you are confused, my lady, and a little suspicious, too. You've every reason to be. A year ago, I wouldn't have believed my story either. I shall start at the beginning, and if the ancestors favor us both, you'll make sense of my rambling tale. I was a powerful man, high in the Jim Guild. I passed many of the lower levels of the guild, mastering mining, sorting, cutting, polishing, and drilling. I was just below the highest level, design. I was a stitcher. What's that? Your tutors have not taught you how your fine clothes are made? But you do know that everything you have and touch comes from the guilds. The fishing guild puts food in your pretty little mouth. The weaving guild clothes you, and my gem guild adorns your clothes. And what I used to do when I was Stitcher Norrell was the precise work of sewing the gems onto your dresses. No, not just yours, everyone in Iskallon. I probably sewed the emeralds onto those sleeves. Don't worry, lad, I won't touch her. I'm just admiring my old handiwork. I was a happy man. I had a wife who was also in the gem guild, a cutter, and we had two children, a nice house with a good view of the lake, upstanding neighbors, a thriving fungal garden, two rooting shrew, and a slink. We were treated well by our guild, ate better than most in Iskallon, and we were even invited to the palace for special events. Yes, mayhap you saw me there once or twice, though you'd have been too young to remember. In short, my life was perfect until I saw a weaver sitting on a bench by the lake, dancing with his Nifild. I was familiar with web silk and its production. I was a stitcher in the Jim Guild by the ancestors. Many times I had visited the weaving houses, seen the Nifild crawling carefully across the forms, gently guided by their human instructors. Many times I had marveled at the absolute perfection in the soft, light garments they created. Their work was the best canvas an artist could hope for. Though I worked with lake hide and chersh and leather, my favorite was web silk. I had often seen the weavers walking around the city with their Nifild perched on their shoulders. But I had never seen such an intimate interaction as I saw that time on the bench by the lake. The weaver was sitting, his hand extended, and the spider, the same size as the hand, dangled below on its line, suspended in midair. The weaver lifted his hand slightly, and the Nifild climbed toward it, up the gossamer strand. He let his hand drop, and the knife-hilt dropped too, and when he moved his hand in a circle the spider spun, its pearly orbed back glistening blue in the ice light. My mind knew that the lion was there, but it was invisible to the eye, and for a moment my heart forgot all about it. I watched, entranced, as the spider seemed to move as one with its master. The tricks became more intricate and beautiful. And then an even more remarkable thing happened. The spider began moving first, and the weaver stood and responded to its actions. Anchored by several lines on the bench, shore, and roof of a nearby house, the spider led the dance, gently propelling its master by swinging across space, around his back, back to the front, reaching out with tiny legs. Again, time stood still, and the Nifeld seemed to be floating through the air, unattached to anything, yet inextricably connected to the weaver. They ended their dance with the Nifeld hovering at face level with its master, reaching a tiny foreleg out to touch his cheek, and the weaver reaching back, hooking another leg with his finger. In that simple, intimate gesture, my fate was sealed. I knew in that moment that I had to become a weaver, or I would die of heartbreak. I see that you are beginning to understand. Of course, they've taught you that no one in Iskallan breaks guild without good reason, especially not someone of my age and stature and family status. In order to transfer, I would have to give up a lifetime of training and advancement to start at the very bottom of the Weaving Guild. It was unlikely that I would even reach the status of a Nifeld trainer before I was retired. And the process of extricating myself from the Gym Guild, the bureaucracy of approvals and records and hearings and appeals, that would take equally as long and be as costly as the process of embedding myself into the Weaving Guild. It was a thing done very rarely. I went home that very day and spoke to Dinka of the experience. She was not pleased at the prospect of sinking to the status of guild mixers. For her sake, and the children's, I tried to be happy in my birth guild. For nearly 5 years I tried. I did not succeed. At last I told my wife, "If I cannot enter the Weaving Guild, I will die inside. A husk of me will wander Iskallan, propelling me through empty, meaningless days." She was more understanding than I expected or deserved. "I know you would not disrupt our lives for a whim, Norrell." I can still see her solemn, beautiful face, the compassion in her eyes. "I would like for you to be happy." Those eyes grew moist. She knew I did not have an easy road ahead. On the same day that I came near to plunging myself under the icy waters of Lintok and never rising again, I went to the guild coordinator and requested a transfer. He was resistant. As you know, it was not a thing often done. I pleaded with him, and at last I said, "Gelge, if you do not do this thing, you will be committing me to my death. The ancestors have shown me my true guild, and if I do not serve it in this life, I will serve it in the burial shafts." He shook his head at that, but the next day he brought the plates to my door for my signature. "If I didn't think you might seriously harm yourself, I'd deny you to save you the humiliation of an apprenticeship at your age." I will not bore you with the details of the transfer. You can look them up in any guildhouse law library, and surely your tutors will drill them into you as your lessons progress. More than a year was spent on tallying approvals, appealing refusals, and holding hearings to assess the impact of my transfer on the productivity of the Gym Guild. Though the quality of my work had declined in my 5 years of ennui, it had fallen from such a height that it still topped all the other stitchers in the guild. One day I was carefully sewing the tiniest diamonds on a lord's dark church, when the representative of the Gym Guild herself came to the stitchery and spoke with me. "Signet is nearly as short and slender as your race, lady, but she is as imposing as your people are, too." "Stitcher Norrell," she spoke in a sing-song voice, but strong, as if she argued before the council. You do your guild a great disservice. Have we been so cruel to you?
Not cruel at all, Councilwoman Signet. I continued to thread diamonds on to the finest gossamer of web silk as I spoke. You have given me nothing but the greatest faith and advantage. It is not so much that I seek to leave the Gem Guild as that I need to join the weavers.
Need, Norrell? A peculiar word choice. What is it that you need so badly?
I could hardly tell this woman that I needed to dance with a spider. Her scorn would have been immense. Instead, I said,
You know, Signet, the way you need the feeling of the hardness and luster of gems, the way they feel running through your hands, the way they catch the light. Can you imagine living without that?
I knew she could not. Though she no longer worked in the guild houses, she visited frequently, picking up odd jobs here and there, just to be with the gems. Even now she was stirring the diamonds on my tray with a finger. Her expression softened, and I continued,
I need a thing as badly as that, and I cannot get it from the Gem Guild. The only place it exists for me is with the weavers.
Design has invested considerable time and effort in your training. If you desist in this, there will be a promotion. Perhaps one day you will even have my seat on the Council of Iskallan.
It is a long way to fall, is it not? But you mustn't look at me like that, my lady. I do not desire your pity. That is not why I tell this tale.
In spite of her argument, Signet relented, and at her behest, the Gem Guild approved my removal. I think she understood my statement about need better than she let on. The second half of the transfer seemed a simple matter compared to the first. Before my release from the Gem Guild was complete, I visited the Weavers' Guild House frequently, speaking with the department heads.
This church is overspun, I told the master spinner, showing off my knowledge. The garment will warp. This, here, it's just right. Not too tight, but not so loose that the garment will be drafty. Charat fleece must be spun just so.
We're not in particular need of members, Norrell, said the loom master, but you do seem to have a passion for the materials.
That I do. It's not such a big leap, stitcher to weaver, surely. A shorter leap than stitcher to fisher, or warrior.
If you line up the darker scales just so, the stitcher can place the gems to effect a pattern that gives the fabric dimension, I told the master of Lakehide.
Yes, I see that, he said, excited. You've got my vote, Norrell. No need to prove yourself.
The Nifield trainers I steered clear of. Once my transfer was official, I would begin the long process of working toward them, but I did not want my excitement to put them off. When the plates had gone out to both guilds regarding the transfer request and the approval process to come, my enemies found their chance to strike. If you saw them and my former self on the streets of Iskallan, you would be hard-pressed to distinguish us. They were a husband and wife, living in a little house with two children and a thriving fungal garden and some sort of pet, I forget what. The only difference was that they were guild mixers. The husband, Thane, worked alongside my wife as a gem cutter, and the wife, Janara, was a weaver. Not a Nifield trainer, but a church spinner. At the time, I did not know they were my enemies. We had hosted them to dinner on many occasions, and their children, guild-split though they were, had played often with our children. We considered ourselves kind to them. Others shunned their family due to its mixed status. As Dinka discovered later, they secretly envied us and blamed us for their own shortcomings. The signs had been there all along, but we had not seen them. Thane often visited me in my work.
This is your finest yet, Norrell, he would flatter me, though if the guildmasters favored me as they do you, I might be able to match it.
You see, he was not very talented, and he saw his inability to advance as caused by my success. Worse, Janara had attempted to transfer into the Gem Guild to join Thane, and been denied. "How lucky you are to share the same guild as your husband," she would say to Dinka while they ate at our table. "Norrell is so well loved among the gems. If he had put in a word for me, he might have swayed your fellow guildsmen." They could have merely blocked my removal from the gem guild, but they were more devious. Or perhaps I should say Gennaro was more devious, because I believe Thane was rather slow. I do not think he had the imagination required for such a plan. When the approval plates came back to the Weaver Guild coordinator, I stood before her, flushed and excited. She examined them carefully for several moments and then shook her head. "One refusal, Guildsman Norrell, just the one. Guildswoman Gennara, would you like an appeal plate?" "Yes, please." As she handed it to me, I was not angry. I was not afraid. My hands did not shake. I still had no idea of what was about to befall. I was a little confused, but after a year of appealing refusals, Gennara's would surely be easy to fix. Her refusal must have been a mistake, maybe even a jest, since she was my friend. Or so I believed at the time. One can only appeal a refusal twice, once by plate, once by hearing. After her second refusal, I began to fear. She did not make any argument in the hearing. In fact, she did not speak until the very end. She sat quietly, watching me intently, a small triumphant smile barely visible on her lips. As she inscribed the final refusal that destroyed my life, she said, "You could have helped Thane advance. You could have helped me join your guild. You could have helped us, but you did not, and now you want me to help you? I'll help you to the bottom of the lake, Stitcher." Her voice was full of malice, and I could only stare at her, confused and aghast, as she flicked me out of the weaving guild with a gold plate inscriber. Even then, I did not comprehend the true scope of their plan. I wandered the shores of the lake for a time, trying to comprehend my failure. I was denied the weaving guild completely and forever. Even if Gennara died or switched guilds, I could not initiate another request. Once denied, forever denied. There was nothing for me to do but tuck my tail between my legs like a beaten slink and crawl back to the gem guild. It was late in the day, and I decided to wait until the next morn to apply my request to be reinstated. That last night with my family, we joked about the fact that, for a day at least, I was one of the guildless. It chills me to think of the irony, and wrenches tears from my heart to think of the four of us laughing together in our cozy home. How round Denka's cheeks were, how beautiful her shining white teeth. When I arrived at the guild house the next morning, I went straight to the coordinator's office and asked for a reinstatement plate. She looked at me with sympathy and went to fetch the plates that held record of my birth, my history in the gem guild, my very existence. She was gone for a long time. When she came back, one of the senior guildsmen shadowed her into the office and came straight to me. "Norrell, did you take your records over to the Weaver Guild already?" "No," I replied. "I was refused entry into the Weaver Guild. That is why I'm here, guildsman sir. I need to apply for reinstatement." His fleshy jowls went pale. "Norrell, we can't find your records. Are you sure they didn't go to the Weavers? I can't reinstate you without your records." There was a flurry of activity. Messengers were sent between guilds, storerooms were searched. At my request, guilds' members' homes were even searched. To my knowledge, the plates have still not been found. I believe Thane may have given them to the Metals Guild for smelting, or paid a fisher to drop them into the depths of the lake. Now, I can see that you are thinking, "Well, it's just a plate. You still existed. They knew you all your life. They could have just inscribed a new record." If only Iskallon were so simple. I pleaded with them. If it had been up to my friends in the guild, I think they would have reinstated me in a heartbeat. But the council grew involved, powerful men and women to whom I was a stranger. I cannot prove it, but I believe Thane and Janara must have bribed them well. Iskallon law was clear, they said. I did not have a record showing I belonged to any guild. My parents were deceased. I had no living blood relatives who could attest that I was born within the Gem Guild. A few council members saw how absurd it was, and apologized, but their hands were tied by law and the majority vote. I could not even apply to join another guild without my birth records. I was guildless. The gendarme escorted me across the lake and into these miserable tunnels. So here you see me today, my lady, neither mad nor lazy. Dinka visits me when she can, although she has to be circumspect. She has her advancement and the children's future to think of. She brought me this blanket, and it keeps me warm as she once did. This is Mathilde. She is an outcast as well, thrown out of her guild because she was born with a defect. Her spinnerets cannot produce enough silk to make a full garment. She gets halfway through and stops, exhausted. Would you like to hold her? No, very well. She likes to ride on my shoulder. And sometimes, when we are warm enough and have eaten well, we steal to the lake shore in the early morning, before the patrols begin, and we dance. The end. Thank you for listening to this audio short story by Sila J. Taesong. Please find more audio stories on dreamsofkaimaj.com. That's dreamsofkaimaj.com. If you like these stories, you can sign up to receive a free monthly short story delivered right to your inbox.